Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Father's Day. Hope all of you had a good weekend and avoided college baseball as much as possible. Happy Father's Day to all of you. Appreciate you being here. I know we're a little late tonight. It's simply because of that. We spent our day watching the U.S. Open, which, I mean, you want to talk about theater. And, man, you do not get theater quite like that very often in really any sport, but especially golf. Everything just lined up perfectly. It rained like hell. The conditions got crazy on already a miserable course, and then guys started dropping like flies, and then JJ Spahn plays basically a perfect back nine after one of the more brutal starts that you can imagine. It was amazing. So if you guys watched that like we did here, hope you had fun. We also saw Lilo and Stitch today, the new Lilo and Stitch. Pretty cute. The little alien dog guy kept him entertained for a while. So I think we're finally at the age where we can sit through movies now. So pretty good. So hope you guys had a good day. Glad that you are here for this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Really appreciate you being here. So I'm stealing my own content is what I'm doing. Every radio show, every podcast does summer content of some kind. The Pardon My Take guys do the Mount Rushmore, which was making fun of people doing Mount Rushmores, and now it's become, I can't miss it. Their Mount Rushmores are so good. We're doing the top five, and we do one every day, and sometimes it's sports-related, sometimes it's not. As the summer goes, we will get a little bit more out there and things like that. But for now, we've stuck pretty good to sports topics. We even did like the really low-hanging fruit sports movies. We did top five tailgate foods and stuff like that. And the audience has seemingly really, really liked it. And I'm going to bring that here for you guys tonight. The top five most important Ole Miss players for the 2025 season. The top five most important individual players for the 2025 season. And so that is tonight's show. And of course, we'll read some of your comments as well on this edition of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, and all that good stuff. And before we get into my list, and you guys drop one of yours as well if you disagree with mine, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven, but shop online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You won't regret it. They have an online inventory that you really need to look at, because the car buying experience, as I tell you guys all the time, is a difficult one. It's a stressful one. It's not something that a lot of people enjoy doing. Well, you need to do it with someone that will actually treat you like a person and understand how difficult the process is. They'll do that at Toyota of Brookhaven. So you don't have to live in the area to still have a great car buying experience. Tell them I sent you. $1,000 bucks off on me. Toyota of Brookhaven, if you just tell them I sent you, $1,000 off. They have great interest rates, especially on the new Tundras. Service department that's open 7 a.m., 7 p.m. So any make or model, they'll take care of you. Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver. So here's my top five, starting with number five, my top five most important Ole Miss players for 2025. Number five is TJ Dottery. TJ Dottery, and you know, it's going to be kind of goofy because, like, Santarian Perkins didn't make my list. And that's only because Santarian Perkins is already like an established, even though, I mean, I guess he's going to be playing off the ball some, a little bit more this year, maybe. But he's more of an established guy. You know exactly what you're going to get with him. You don't need a stepping up from him. You just need him to continue to be what he was a year ago. And so this is more about players that need to step up and fill some kind of a void. That elevates their importance, in my opinion. That's my rationale. Maybe it's a little goofy and you guys disagree, but Number five, TJ Dottery. The linebacker position, in this included him, he was a part of this, was really, really good a year ago. The entire defense was really good a year ago for the most part. But linebacker was especially quite good. But Chris Paul is now not at Ole Miss, and what a pleasant surprise he was. He was a good pickup out of the portal. I didn't think anybody expected All-American when they got him. He's gone now. And so can TJ Dottery, who had a good season last season, fill that role of that kind of a linebacker? Can he step up into that missing role? Because you guys saw what great linebacker play can do for a defense, and you've seen it in the past as well. Chris Paul is a big loss for this Ole Miss defense. It can be mitigated by having TJ Dottery step up and become a high-volume tackler. Like, again, he was a year ago, but it's a little bit different now with Chris Paul gone. So I think that if they are going to continue to have that success defensively, he's got to fill that role. But again, last season he was good. At 76 tackles last season, a pair of sacks, and also forced a fumble. I mean, that was a good season. Can he have a great season? Can he have an elite season? I think this defense needs great linebacker play. I know that breaking news, Mort 11, they need good linebacker play to be good. What an idiot I am. But it looks like they've done a good job in the portal as well. I mean, they got some pickups that you should be pretty happy about, especially the Yates transfer from Marshall. But anyway, that is my number five. Number four, here's a cop-out. Whoever the hell is playing defensive back for Ole Miss this year, is it Ricky Fletcher? Is it Jalen Braxton? I mean, whoever the starting corners are, and I know I'm only supposed to pick one guy, whoever they are, though, they need to be better than what the sounds out of spring practice alluded to them being. Now, there were some injury issues as well. They had to be active in the spring portal, and I mean, they got guys out of the spring portal. They got Fagan from Clemson. He was a four-star prospect, didn't really play there, but you know, he redshirted, so still has a ton of eligibility if they need it. But there was a lot of activity for Ole Miss in the spring portal, Fletcher being another one, because if you try to read between the lines and interpret what was going on at spring or in spring, then not good at the defensive back position at all. So whoever is going to play there needs to be much better than what it sounds like they had in spring. We talk about it all the time. You guys have said it. I've said it. Everybody said it. Trey Amos was exceptional for that Ole Miss defense and frankly did not get enough love, in part because he was only a one-year guy, but because the best defensive backs never get attention because the ball doesn't get thrown their way very often. He was able to take away, I mean, 33% of the field, basically. His presence really just eliminated that portion of the field. He's gone now. So whoever these guys are going to be, whoever it is that's going to play defensive back for Ole Miss, again, they were highly active in the spring portal, that they need to be, I don't think any of them are Trey Amos, but they certainly don't need to go from elite or great to elite to bad again. So that's my number four, whoever the hell the defensive backs are. Number three, Xavien Harris is the guy that I went with. You could pick really anybody on the defensive line, but he's the one that I think has the biggest shoes to fill. And also in his playing time a year ago, looked like he had the highest upside. You guys know he's already an absolute giant to begin with. He's a huge guy, but I really, in the snaps that he played, he looked like a complete defensive lineman. And I don't know if he have a motor for 60 snaps a game? I don't know. We haven't really seen it at a consistent level yet. I do think, though, that if Walter Nolan didn't exist, he would have been really good for Ole Miss last year. When he played, he flashed a lot. And Walter Nolan's shoes are the biggest ones on that defensive line to fill by far, because of just how dominant he was a year ago. So can Xavien Harris take the flashes that you saw from him a year ago? And he flashed a year ago a lot. He looks like he's got the physical tools to become a quality interior defensive lineman in the SEC, but you just got to go do it. And so that's why he's number three on my list. That defensive line has the raw talent to be very good next season, but can they take that step forward and become high-quality players? It starts in the interior, and it starts with Xavien Harris. Two and one are both on offense. Number one's the obvious one, but I'll stick with two for right now. This could have been any number of guys on the offensive line, but I went with Patrick Kutis, and here's why. I think that when it comes to the tackles, when healthy, they're, you know, at least what they are and what they can be. Now, are Diego Pounds and Jaden Williams like superstars on the offensive line? No. Maybe Terrez Davis comes in and pushes for the job and maybe takes one of their jobs. We'll see. That would, frankly, I think that would be a positive to get somebody out of the portal that comes in and steals a starter's job, frankly, because they need to be better on the offensive line. But the interior I thought was especially awful a year ago because, again, the tackles when healthy are fine. It's the interior, especially like in the short yard and stuff, you could see how bad they were. And so, you know, transfer from Arkansas, he is somebody that you expect to be a plug-and-play guy right away. It has SEC experience. They have a ton of film on him. Can he be somebody that they can depend on and run behind on the interior of the offensive line? Because the entire unit has to get better. There's no doubt about that. The entire unit has to get better. But that's why I singled out this individual player. He's an SEC guy. You expect him to come and elevate the floor, at least, of the offensive line with his presence. We'll see if he can. And number one, obviously, the quarterback, Austin Simmons. He is the most important player on this team in 2025. We talk about him all the time. We'll talk about him 100 times more. The ceiling on him is incredibly high. As the great Michael Jordan once said behind a microphone, the ceiling is the roof for him. The ceiling is the roof. I mean, but it really is impossibly high for Austin Simmons. There's a reason that they didn't go try to get a starter out of the portal to compete with him, even though he's never started a game at Ole Miss. They believe that he is ready to take this job by the horns and be successful, possibly even right away. But until he does it, we don't know. And there's such volatility at the quarterback position. I mean, look at Florida State last year. That was not a 2-10 roster. Now, they missed some evaluations, sure, but the most important evaluation they missed was the quarterback position. With better quarterback play, they don't go 2-10. They just simply do not go 2-10 with better quarterback play. You know, look at the difference between Florida State and Mississippi State. Florida State's roster, I think, from watching them, significantly better than State's a year ago, but they had the same record. Why? Florida State's quarterback play was significantly worse than even Mississippi State's, playing a freshman after Blake Shapen got hurt. Quarterback, it just creates such a that position, as you guys know. I'm not, you know, reinventing the wheel here. It's obvious how important quarterback is, and having a very inexperienced, albeit talented, quarterback can go multiple ways. And so that's why he's the most important player on the team. And also a leadership void gets left behind with Dart to the NFL, and can he step in and fill that role despite being a young quarterback? Well, we'll see. 3 years in the system certainly helps him, though. There's no doubt about that. We'll get back to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you're a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, check them out at Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Again, 16 locations in Mississippi. There's very likely to be one in your backyard. So check them out. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Just a feeling, but Coastal looks like the team to win it all in Omaha is the first comment. I hope so. I'm going to be mean here, but it's just a fact. Coastal Carolina, at least when I was growing up in the upstate, was the safety school for everybody. Literally everybody I know applied for school at Coastal Carolina. Literally everybody, because everybody knew at least you were going there. So, and, you know, there were some people like applying to Georgia and North Carolina and stuff like that. You know, these good schools that actually turned people down. Not Coastal. You knew you were going there. But, I mean, they've really invested in all sports there. They're really trying. And even like their logo and color scheme and all that's pretty cool. So I would appreciate it and enjoy that. Keith Carter is number one, and the rest of the list is fungible after that. No kidding. Hope you had a good Father's Day. Appreciate that. Yeah, we had a good time. Pretty low key. You know, went to Waffle House, went to a movie, watched the U.S. Open. A pretty low key day. He'll actually sit and watch golf with me for a little bit. He gets bored, but after like 2 hours, like he'll actually watch. It's pretty cool. Hope the kid from New Albany that committed to LSU didn't make a Jeremy Liggins mistake. It's all I'll say about that is it's June and it's also the transfer portal era. So don't sweat it. How about waking up at 3 a.m. to run to CVS because your daughter's puking, then going on to win the U.S. Open after shooting 40 on the front nine? What did it, I mean, just such a fun story. JJ Spawn is, I mean, I'm sure you, if you were clearly watching, so you heard on the broadcast that, I mean, he almost quit the game. He almost quit the game because mentally he was so unable to handle it. And to turn around and become a guy that was absolutely unbelievable on a back nine at an extremely difficult course with brutal, like, mentally taxing conditions. Everybody else fell apart, but him and Robert McIntyre, who, you know, is a Scottish guy. That's like what he plays in, you know, every week. But everybody else folded. And he just executed shot after shot, made a couple long putts, and that was the golf gods giving him one back after hitting the pin and the ball rolling off the green early in his round. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot. Haven't seen Lilo and Stitch in like 15 years while you're getting old. Yeah, it's a new it's a new one. The obviously the little alien guy is not real, but they used real people. And it was fine. If you think too much about kids' movies, you're like, wait, none of this makes any what? None of this makes sense at all. But they don't know that. So thoughts on the O-line? I'm concerned. You know, people spend time hyping up the running back room, and I also, frankly, if you're being honest, you should have a very wait-and-see approach with the offensive line and the running back room. Now, I'm not saying that they can't be great, that you don't have a handful of guys in the running back room that have the potential to be very good. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but that's what you had a year ago, and they managed that room terribly, and offensive line couldn't do anything for them. And it was awful. It was a disaster. It was a failure of coaching or evaluating or both. I mean, I know we've debated it too much and talked about it too much, but man, the validation that the people that were questioning the running game got as the season went on, it's impossible to ignore. The line that, well, Bentley's just not good enough, so here's a walk on, and a six-string wide receiver. It was total nonsense. They evaluated the portal poorly. They mismanaged it. It was awful. And until you see that position improve, then you should not talk about how great it's going to be, in my opinion. I mean, again, it has a high upside. Logan Diggs, when healthy, it's a quality SEC back. Is he healthy? I mean, Lacey has – they recruited him out of high school. So, you know, that's – they wanted him then, but he hasn't played any significant amount of football at this level. What if he's not ready for it? What if he's some kind of a, I mean, I don't want to use bust or what, but you know, what if he can help you? Damian Taylor has the exact same stats as a guy that you brought in out of the portal from the same level a year ago and didn't use him at all. So, and then a true freshman. So, again, a lot of those guys have upside. A lot of upside. They all have upside, every single one of them. But until they prove it, there's no reason to think that they will because of how they bungled it last year. And it's the same thing with the offensive line. I'm not going to hype a portal class until I see them actually play because the portal class last season looked great and it did not play great. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned, especially with a young quarterback back there. Until you see improvement, you should not expect it. They have not earned on the offensive line or in the running back room, in my opinion, because of what happened last season. They have not earned the benefit of the doubt from you. You should be concerned until they give you reason not to. And I think that's totally fair. Also, thoughts on the baseball transfers so far. Love the pitchers. So far, so good there. I don't think the Illinois State guy is going to make it to campus. I think that the draft is going to be too good. I hope I'm wrong, but the class is shaping up nicely. They got a bit of a later start, but I do really like the upside of the pitching staff so far, especially if they can get Elliott to come back. Cam Franklin would be high on the list, especially with questions at DB. It's going to be important to get pressure on the quarterback. That's a good one. That's a very good one. I have four. For me, it would be Caden Lee, Centarian Perkins, Daquan Wright, and DeJon Stribling. Maybe a fifth would be one of the D linemen. And maybe I am but like my rationale wasn't good, but I am so confident that their pass catchers are going to be good that I didn't list them as quote unquote important because like I'm not concerned about their ability to fill a void or the need for them to step up to replace the guys that they lost. I think that they're not going to miss a beat at wide receiver, to tell you the truth. They're going to be better as a whole, I think, next season than they were last season. So, again, maybe my rationale was not good there. Offense is the bigger issue for this program right now. Oh, 10 times the issue that defense is. Didn't put Austin at first for me because we just had a first-round pick at quarterback that suffered due to a garbage offensive line. It's part of it. As talented as the pass catchers were last year, they had a back. They had back-breaking drops in big moments. Hope Caden Lee steps out to be the automatic fourth-down playmaker. Yeah, basically all of them, right? Trey Harris, as good as he was, man, just that. If he catches that pass in Baton Rouge, and it's not fair to put one play and one drop on a player, but I think they win that game. Juice Wells was largely bad. Had a few flashes of brilliance, but was largely bad. And Trey Harris got hurt on top of it. So, what was it? Watkins had the bad drop in Gainesville. So, this is just projecting, not an actual numbers question, because it's deceiving. You think this offense can be or will be better than last season's? If not, then take the under 8.5. I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? That's we talked about it recently. It's it's so interesting because they didn't make any material changes with the staff. And personnel-wise, they lost a first-round pick at quarterback. And, I mean, look at what Watkins is doing in training camp, right? Look at Trey Harris's. Was an early round pick, obviously. So the only thing that they lost was their best players. But they didn't change offensive line coach. They didn't change running back coach. They didn't change offensive coordinator. But they have to change something. And again, you can tell me that I don't know ball, and that's fine. I don't. But you also can't tell me that they maximized their personnel a year ago. And you also can't tell me that offensively they were schemed great and had all the right strings being pulled from a coaching perspective and just simply didn't have the players to score more than two touchdowns at home against Kentucky. You're not going to convince me of that thing. They were bad in short yardage. They couldn't run the football. And that's in part because, if not mostly because of offensive line issues, but also whose fault is that? It's your fault. You're evaluating, recruiting, or developing poorly. If not one of those things, maybe it's all of those things. So that still falls on the back of coaching. But bad in second halves, bad in short yardage, there's an issue there. And so they have to self-scout in order to fix those issues. If anybody can do it, it's Lane Kiffin. So that should give you confidence. If anybody can do that, it's him. And it does sound like they're going to do things a little bit differently with the quarterback change. So we'll see what that is. But last season was not just a player's issue. No way. Non-conference running up the score numbers don't matter. Look at the conference game scoring in the eye test. It was so bad outside of Arkansas and Georgia. They had a good offensive game against Georgia, but they still had a good offensive game against Georgia because they didn't have to go score every, you know what I mean? Because Georgia wasn't going to. So are the vault renovations back on the table? No. Not yet. They can put another date on it if they like. No, not yet. Unless a donor has stepped up and said, you can only take my money and use it on stadium. No. Finally made a live show. Glad to see you. Good to see you too, Peyton. Moved to Pensacola working full-time and in school, trying to get a law degree with a kid and a wife. At 20 years old? You're doing all that at 20? You don't want to know what I was doing at 20. I was getting fat at 20. Oh, boy. And I didn't buy new clothes either. I just kind of fit in the ones that I had. Yeah, that was Ole Miss was a lot of fun. I had a great time in college. My body did not have a great time in college. Has Little Man Summer been going good? It's been good, man. We went to Nashville the other day, or last week. We went to the zoo and then the soccer game, which was a disaster, but he didn't really care. He had fun, though. We got to meet a player, which was really cool, after the game. And John Tolkien, by the way, is the player. Look here. And that was sick. So what I loved about this, by the way, you guys hear me all the time kind of preach about how fans are getting left behind, right? They played awful last week. I mean, just god-awful. And after the game, so game ends, they lose 4-0. Get smoked. After the game, they announced that there's going to be like a big fireworks show and light show and all that. And it took them like 15 minutes to start. It took them a little while to start it. I think there was like a technical issue. And so we're sitting in our seats waiting for this fireworks show to happen. It happens. And it's a long one. They did a good job. And after that was over, I looked down at the field and there was a player on the other side of the wall talking to fans. And there was a line of fans. So we're talking at least 30 minutes post game, maybe longer, when we see this. So we go down from the upper deck, walk all the way down to the field and wait in line. And there's like 40 people in line by the time we get there. So we're like an hour after the game and he's still there. And this guy, after getting their asses kicked on the field, after an hour of taking pictures and signing stuff and all that, when it's our turn and my son walks up to him to give him a high five, big smile, big high five. Thanks for coming, man. Great to meet you. Like, had the best attitude. And gained a fan that night. I mean, I will be a fan of his forever. I'm going to buy a Tolkien jersey for him, even though he's not like an A player for us. He's still getting a jersey because that dude, he didn't have to do it. He was the only one that did it. And just an hour of his time, and I promise you, he made fans for life, including one right here. And I love that. I am so that kind of stuff makes me so happy. And my little guy had a moment like that. And I'm telling you, after an hour, he was still like, hey, man, good to see you. Like, gave my all that. It was awesome. So created a fan for life. And I wish that more athletes understood how simple, how easy it is to get people on your side like him. So that was fun. We had a good time. We'll do some water parks and stuff later as well. So we'll do a beach weekend or maybe just like a day trip down to the coast. And yeah. Can you put a running back on a list of five just out of principle? Yeah, pick one, whichever one. What are you going to do without J.J. Pegues? He was the best running back. Seriously, that's the thing. Are the rumors about hiring? I have no idea. I don't know. Don't you have to get rid of a hitting coach in order to hire a new one? So it's been one game, but had a vintage Arkansas and Omaha again. It kind of sounded like Van Horn was getting reflective in the press leading up to it. What portal players didn't look great last season? The offensive line, for sure. Juice Wells, really bad. I mean, he was a complete bust. I know he had 500, I guess it was 500, just north of 500 yards receiving, but he was not at all worth what they paid to get him, and he was a total bust. So there's a group of them right there. By and large, defensively, man, they hit. They hit on a lot of them. But, yeah, that it would be those. They were underwhelming on the offensive line, and Juice Wells was a big bust. What's the UCLA shortstop going to cost? Oh, you don't want to know. Wide receiver is going to be nice. That'll be the best position group on the team, I think. What would Simmons have to do this fall to leave for the draft? Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I do think that unless he is like a Heisman finalist, I don't think he can do enough to be a first-round pick after this season. I mean, that's a dramatic ascension. Like, Ole Miss would have to make the playoff, and he would have to throw for, like, 3,800 yards and, you know, 28 touchdowns with five picks and run for another 400 or whatever. I mean, it would have to be those kind of numbers for him to ascend to that level, especially at his age. If the running backs are handled like they were last year, things could get ugly because Simmons is going to have more time to get his feet underneath him, had a first-round quarterback and Dart to make plays. Yes. Having a good running game is paramount for bringing along a young quarterback. So I think they had to make a change at O-line coach at least. I cannot believe that they did not make a staff change on offense, considering what you watched and all that. I can't believe it. LSU win would have been discounted because they wouldn't have the win against I see what you're getting at. But, yeah, all joking aside, they do make the playoffs if they just beat LSU, or more specifically Kentucky. Looked like the Hugh Freeze offense is trying to string things together with no run game. Would have faith in Lane to make the changes to win, but it's in the back of people's minds. It should be. Interested to see what I do for the most important games for Ole Miss in 2025. Yes, that is coming. I did think of that. I thought about doing that one tonight, but. Best offensive line under Kiffin 2020. Yep. 21 was good too, right? Ran the hell out of the football both of those years. Here's five, each of the starters on the offensive line. No kidding. Austin isn't even starting the season in the top 10 quarterbacks in the conference. He would have to turn into Graham Harrell to get enough pub to go pro after this season. Yeah. I think the Egg Bowl is sneaky important this year. Real chance to deliver a death blow and get three in a row for the first time in years. Lose and you give state life back. You are that last sentence, man. If they can suck all season long, but if they find a way to beat Ole Miss next year, yeah. And frankly, they haven't played well in each of the last two Egg Bowls. Now they've won them, and that's all that mattered. But did you leave the stadium after the Egg Bowl this past year inspired by what you saw? No. 23, you can forgive it a little bit because the team was good and the team at that point overachieved and they went on the road and won a game, right? That's a little bit different than the garbage that you had to witness last year. Again, they won, but that was a pathetic Mississippi State team. So, yeah, they've got to play better in that game. Five of the last six is what it would be. Yeah. Lane Kiffin would have five Egg Bowl wins in 6 years. That would be significant if they can pull that off. But anyway, appreciate you guys being here. We will be back on Tuesday as scheduled. So we'll be back on schedule. No more off days for a little while. So I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Appreciate you being here. Hope you had a great weekend and a happy Father's Day. And we'll continue with our top five on Tuesday. See y'all then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.